Good evening, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving to all of you. Let's begin by entering into prayer together. Heavenly Father, we do want to thank you first and foremost for Jesus Christ, our Lord. We thank you, Father, that your plan that he executed called for him to become the God-man born of a virgin and live a sinless life and go to the cross for us, die for our sins. And then he was buried and you raised him from the dead 3 days later. And whoever believes in him does not perish but has eternal life. We also want to thank you, Father, for all your good gifts and blessings over the last year. We want to thank you also for the things you're going to do for us in the coming year. And we would ask this evening, Father, that you have the Holy Spirit help us to understand and to be in the frame of mind that your word asks us to be in. And also want to pray this evening for all the needs of the saints, Father, the ones going through difficult times right now, deaths in the family, sickness, persecution. And we just know that someday we're all going to be up in heaven together celebrating one big happy family. And that's going to be a great day. We ask this all in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, with thankfulness by the Holy Spirit's power. Amen. Well, again, happy Thanksgiving, everybody. This is a picture of the first Thanksgiving. And, of course, the people came over religious. I mean, they came here to be able to practice their faith without being persecuted themselves, actually, in England at the time. And so we never forget that. But, of course, in the modern era, we have our own traditions. This is actually the less famous Norman Rockwell painting about Thanksgiving, but I love it because it's, the kid's view of it. But there's one other thing about the first Thanksgiving that I'm not sure everybody knows. And after they were done with the meal, they played sporting events, competitive events. And none of the history books record this, interestingly enough, but actually, I don't know how well you can see this, but the very first football game was actually played at the first Thanksgiving. It turned out to be the Patriots on the left versus the Redskins on the right. So just wanted to pass that along to you. Patriots won, of course. Just want to pass that along. Well, and Thanksgiving is about thanking. And before we think about God, I think we're going to start this evening by thinking about other people and ask the question, why do we thank people? I mean, think about people in your life that you thanked this year. Why did you do it? You know, maybe you sent a thank you note for something. Or perhaps you spoke with them, called them, or even saw them to thank them. Or maybe you sent a text or a Facebook post, maybe. Or an Instagram, or even a Snapchat private message. But somewhere or another, you got the message across that you were grateful for something. But the question is, why? Why did you thank those people? Let me suggest a few possibilities as to why it might be. You know, one is that you received a gift from them. You know, it's customary when you receive a gift to thank people for that. And that's one of the things we do with people. We thank them for gifts. But other reasons that we have is when we're in need and somebody helps us, whatever that help might be. It's another reason to thank people because of the help that they've given you. Not only that, but there are some people that they just stick with you no matter what. In the worst of times and the best of times, they're always there by your side. They're called friends. And we should, from time to time, actually reach out to our friends and thank them for being a friend of ours. And we do that. That's another reason. So we get a gift and we thank people. We got help from somebody and we thank them for that. We thank our friends for being friends for us. And then finally, people that love us. From time to time, we just think about the fact that they love us and they show that love in some way. And we want to express our gratitude for their love that they've shown for us. So those are some of the ways in which we think about thanking and actually do thank people in our lives. Okay, well, God's a person. And, well, actually, God's three people. He's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But each one of them is a person. We forget that sometimes. They're persons. They're people in that sense. They're God, but they're also God in three persons. And they're personal. And that just means that the way we deal with people, we should also think about dealing with God the same way. You know, and this year we've been focusing on practical Christianity, practical aspects of being a Christian. So tonight I have a practical suggestion concerning Thanksgiving, and it's this. Don't let Thanksgiving be the only time you think about things that you're grateful for. Something that happens sometimes. You go through life and you got your routine, you got your worries, you got your difficulties, you got the hassles, and then all of a sudden you look on the calendar and it's about Thanksgiving in a few days, and then it hits you. I should be grateful because Thanksgiving's coming. Hey, I'm as guilty of it as you are. And that's a shame, though. And not because people out there are, you know, resenting the fact that you don't express it, or even that God holds anything against you when you don't, because he doesn't. Actually, as we're going to see, giving thanks, the person that gets helped the most when we give thanks is us. It's we who give, and you'll see that. I hope you'll see that this evening. And it's for the simple reason that in order to be grateful for something, you have to think about something. And the things that we become grateful for are good things, right? Gifts are good things, right? People helping us is a good thing. Friends are wonderful blessings. And love is amazing. So that the more that we think about these things, the more that we're going to be grateful. And the more that we think about these things and we're grateful, the more joyful and at peace we're going to be. We're going to be. And so actually, Thanksgiving benefits us even more than it does the people that we're thanking. And so here's the recommendation. Go to the Lord on a regular basis to thank him for stuff. You know, when we think about prayer, we usually have our, I am as guilty as all of this tonight. That's why I came up with it, because I think about, you know, what I have to improve on. But we all come up with our prayer lists, and usually it's all this, it's good, and it's other people, but it's all the stuff that we want. I heard yesterday somebody, my dental hygienist said, Thanksgiving should be God's day off. And I love that, because it's true. Even in prayer, we're usually putting him to work, you know. Hey, we need this, we need this miracle, we need this person, we need that, I need that. And I mean, think about if it was you, and you heard all our prayers, right? Just a list of work to do. God's going to be like, oh my gosh, these people, they don't stop, you know. Now, I'm kidding, because he wants us to go with every request. But I think a lot of times we forget about the thankfulness part. That when we go to him, we should also bring our thankful list to the prayer meeting as well, to the times that we spend alone with him. And it's nothing more or less than a habit. You know, there's nothing magic about any of this. You know, I have this big, long prayer list now. There's nothing magic about it. It's just I got into the habit when somebody asked me to pray for something that I put it in the list right away. Mostly because you see these gray hairs. I'm getting a little older and forgetful. And if I don't write it down, I'll be at the prayer meeting and like, I know somebody asked me to pray for something. Is that good? You know, because I forget. So, but same thing with thankfulness, you know. And I'm not saying be neurotic about it, but I am saying to be intentional about it. To say, in the same way that I think about my needs, in the same way that I think about my failures, I'm going to think about the great stuff that God has put in my life. And the great things that the Word of God says he's done for me that I can't even see, but I believe are true. So get into the habit of going to the Lord and thanking him on a regular basis for the things in your life, the gifts he's given, the help he's given you, the fact that he's been there for you all the time, and the fact that he loves you. So again, here is a great way to think about things to thank God for. And it comes right from the things that we thank people for his gifts. For his help, for being there for you, and for loving you. Now, all this is doing is actually kind of generating, hopefully it's generating some things in your heart. That when you think about his gifts, that now you're saying, wait a minute, my wife is a gift, my kids are a gift, being born a citizen of the United States is a gift. And that's just in the practical realm. You know, salvation is a gift. Being born again is a gift. Jesus is a gift. His death for me is a gift. Being made a child of God is a gift. Knowing that I have eternal life is a gift. So these are hopefully triggered words, not in a good way. Apparently that's a bad thing now. But I mean it in a good thing, trigger word. Meaning it trigger a lot of things that go with that one word. When you start saying, what are God's gifts to me? Hopefully a lot of things start coming to mind. And it gets easy to go and thank him because there's so many things that he's given you and I. But also his help. Think about the times when you were up against it. Something looked impossible. You were in a tough place. You were in a place where you didn't see any human solution to what you were going through. And he came through for you in that way. He was a friend to you when perhaps nobody else was there. Perhaps there's something that you were working out in your soul that was just destroying you and ripping you apart. And you knew that nobody, you couldn't go to a human being about it. You went to him about it. And his word and his comfort and his spirit helped you get through that. So his help, being there for you, and then loving you. You know, one of the things I've really had to do over the last few years is to get out of sort of a doctrinal thinking about God and go into his word and just see what he says. And in the New Testament, it's overwhelming, the messages that are in the New Testament about how much God loves you. It's again and again and again and again and again, it's there. And if we would just go to the word and just soak it in for its own sake, we'd be overwhelmed by the amount of times he tells us he loves us. And that's a great thing to thank him for, too. So with that as a help of how do I come up with things to thank God for, I'm going to give you a lot more help this evening from God's word. When we were his enemies, the Bible says he was there for us. I want you to think about that. When we think about people there for us and our friends, it's usually, you know, we have great camaraderie of things in common. I help you, you help me. I was there for you, you're there for me. You know what I'm saying? It's reciprocal friendship. But when we were God's enemies, that's when he was there for us. That's amazing to me. Not only was he there for us, but he gave us his one and only son to die for us. That's the gospel. I never get tired of saying it. I never get tired of reflecting on it. You know, it's the same thing with the Lord's Supper, right? Well, we do the Lord's Supper once a month, and that's good. And we bring into remembrance his death at the Lord's Supper, and that's good. But don't you know, we should be bringing into remembrance his death every day. You know, when we think about the things about us that otherwise would have gone unforgiven, we can think about his death. When we think about how do I know God loves me, the greatest way in which he demonstrated his love for you was that, giving his one and only son to die for us. Romans 5:8. By the way, tonight, in the interest of time, I'm just going to read. If you want to follow along, it's okay. I would recommend that you just relax and let the words kind of roll over your heart. You can always write them down and read them. And this message will be on the website, www.lbible.org. All the scripture references will be there. Sometimes it's just nice to have somebody just read to you, you know, without having to worry about taking notes or you know any of that. So it's your choice, but that, I would recommend that tonight. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Christ. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only this, but we also exalt in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. God loves you. Me too. That's the overwhelming message of the New Testament. God loves you. God is love. It's everywhere in the New Testament. It's in the Gospel of John. It's in the book of Acts. It's in Romans. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. And I don't know about you. I do know about you because you're just like me. The one thing I need to remind myself of over everything else is that God loves me. You see, that's a great solving of problems. When you're in a jam and it's your fault, you think, or you're overwhelmed, or you're worked up, and it just seems like everything's against you, you can pop your head out and say, yeah, but God loves me, and God's all-powerful, and he loves me, and he wants the best for me, and all things are working together for good. To whatever that thing was. It's a wonderful solving of problems in our lives. So what I'm going to do now is just stop right here. And I wanted to let the Lord's and God's love pour into your hearts by just listening to him through the New Testament tell you how much he loves you. I'm going to put these verses on the board. They're going to be on the website later. You can write them down if you want. But again, I'm just going to read to you. Just relax. Let the word of God minister to you by listening to it tonight. And just saying, this is for me. This message from God is for me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace, gifts freely given, in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Great love, raised up together with Christ. Ages to come, he's going to continue showing the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness. His face toward you is the face of mercy and grace and forgiveness and kindness and love. By grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Paul writes in 2 Thessalonians 2, we should always give thanks to God for you. He calls us brethren beloved by the Lord. You know, people just always want to take expressions from the Word of God and put it on their whatever and bumper sticker. How about that one? How about I am a brother or a sister beloved by the Lord? Because it's true. You're beloved by the Lord. Because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. It was for this that he called you through our gospel, that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Or Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And in you, in the life we live now in the flesh, we live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself up for us. Therefore, be imitators of God, beloved children. We're beloved children of the Father. God the Father, the Creator, all-powerful. One day this entire universe is going to be summed up in Christ, and Christ is going to turn it over and say, Father, now everything's back in order, and you're all in all. That God considers you his beloved child. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love. Just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. And John says it this way, see how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God, and such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us, because it didn't know him. Beloved, or the ones being loved, whenever you see beloved, in the Bible, translated, the ones being loved. Now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he, Christ, appears, we will be like him. That's how much God loves us, that he's conforming us to the image and likeness of his Son. Because we'll see him just as he is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. And we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. By this, the love of God was manifested, shown in us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. And he sent his Son to be the propitiation for all our sins, the perfect satisfaction for all our sins, is Christ. That's how much God loved you and still does. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. Whoever confesses, believes that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him or her, and he or she abides in God. And we have come to know and believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. And finally, perhaps my favorite passage of all. Oh, I should have moved this forward. I'm on another whole page here. Romans 8, 35 to 39. Who will ever separate us from the love of God, love of Christ? Will tribulation, will distress, will persecution, will famine or nakedness or peril or even sword? No, just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But even in all of those things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will ever be able to separate you and I from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So the love of God is something we can always be thankful for and listen to. Again, before we're thankful, we should just soak it in and say, this is what I'm thankful for. And soak in the love of God. Believe me, your heart will then be full to express naturally the gratitude that you have. And when you're naturally or just, you know, freely thankful for things, that's when you have joy in your heart. Now, the other thing we thank people for in the human realm is when they help us. And the Holy Spirit is your helper. He's inside you, and he's there every day to help us, every day of our lives. In the Gospel of John, we learned that. John 14, I will ask the Father, Jesus said, he will give you another helper, that he, the Holy Spirit, might be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, whom the world cannot receive, because it doesn't see him or know him. But you know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. And he is in every one of us. Jesus goes on in chapter 14 of John, and he says, these things I have spoken to you while abiding with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I, Jesus, said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you, but do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. The Holy Spirit helps us in a lot of ways. He helps us by praying for us. When we can't come up with the words, the Holy Spirit comes up with the words. When he's the reason we can grow spiritually. He enables all the growth that occurs in our life. He also helps us by overcoming our flesh. We don't. The Spirit wars against the flesh, so that we may not do the things that we wish. So the Spirit does that by, we walk by means of the Spirit, but he's the one who does battle with the flesh, putting it out of the manufacturing business of manufacturing sins. And then he also helps us by producing the fruit of the Spirit. As we walk by means of the Spirit, he's producing his fruit. And what wonderful fruit it is. Let's remind ourselves again of it tonight. Love. That's something to be grateful for, that the Holy Spirit is producing love inside of us. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, and faithfulness, and self-control. Now, these things have to already be who the Spirit is in order for him to produce it in us. And so we should first be thankful that to the Holy Spirit for his love and his joy and his peace. That's a guy I want to be with, by the way. Somebody who's always at peace, always joyful, always loving, gentle, kind, good, faithful, and self-controlled. And he's producing that in us as well. Those are some great things to be thankful for. We thank our friends when they're there for us. And Jesus invites us to be his. He invites us to be his friends. In the Gospel of John, he turned to the disciples at night and he said, just as the Father has loved me, I've also loved you. Abide in my love. See how many times love shows up in the New Testament? It's unbelievable. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. That's what he wants for you. We think of it's a chore to do his commandments, when in reality, that's the way in which our joy becomes full. And his commandment, really, he's going to tell us at the end, is just love one another. And that's a joy too. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, if you do what I command you. No, this is what he says to all of us. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave doesn't know what his master is doing. I have called you friends, for all things that I've heard from my Father I've made known to you. You didn't choose me, Jesus says to us. I chose you, and I appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain, and that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. This I command you, that you love one another. Gifts. Every good gift, the Bible says, comes from our Father of lights. And God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. That's a cornucopia of gifts. And he did that before he did that in eternity past, before any of us were born. He already had given that to us. God has given you everything you need for life and for godliness. Eternal salvation itself is a gift. The baptism by the Spirit into Christ, gift. Grace is a gift. That's what it means. God giving things freely. God giving gifts freely. And he's also given us one another. And that's a great gift too. You know, Paul was always thanking God for the Christians that God put in his life. Do you realize that? Think about that. You can go to the God at any time and just thank him for the Christians that he's put in your life. And how many Christians has he put in your life? Think about it, directly or indirectly. You know, I think about everybody here. I think about people I've met in the past that were Christians in different assemblies. I think about the missionary organizations that we pray for and support. And on and on and on and on it goes. Those are all gifts from God, other members of the body of Christ. You know, Paul put it this way in Philippians 1. He said, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, or fill in the blank, at Pompano, everywhere, right? All these places, including the overseers and deacons. I love that, by the way, because almost like, well, I'm not sure they deserve it, but I'll throw them in there. The leaders, right? All right. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul writes, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. All you got to do is remember another brother or sister in Christ. And that's reason to thank God. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. Always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all. In view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it, complete it, until the day of Christ Jesus. God has reconciled us to himself forever through the blood of Christ. What a gift. He's declared us righteous in his eyes by grace through faith. Another gift. And if you ever get stuck one of these days wondering, what should I thank God for today? Why, just take a read of some of those 50 items that describe what it means to be a Christian. I'm going to pick a few out for you right now to help that process along. But make sure you have that document. I keep it in this yellow folder, and it's the first thing I grab every morning. I sit down with whatever I'm eating, and I just read them, and it just builds me up. I mean, I don't know what I did without that, actually, you know, as far as getting ready for the day and all that. Like this, number 14. You've been forgiven of all of your sins. Isn't it great to remind yourself of that every morning? You've been forgiven of all your sins, past, present, and future. He rescued us from the domain of darkness. He transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom, Christ, we have it. We have redemption, and redemption is the forgiveness of sins. When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions. Think about that. When did he forgive us of all of our transgressions? The moment we believed. We were dead in a we didn't do anything, in other words, to be forgiven. We were dead in a transgression of our flesh. He made us alive, and having forgiven us all our sins. Done it, done. Having canceled out the certificate of debt. In other words, he canceled out the very thing that would continue to remind us of our sins. So not only did he forgive us of all our sins, he canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of all the decrees that were against us. That was hostile to us. Because the power of sin is the law. And he took it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Do you realize that you have Christ in you? Walking around, when you leave tonight, you have Christ in you. When you go to your Thanksgiving meal tomorrow night, you have Christ in you. When you go to bed and your stomach hurts, you have Christ in you. And that ain't Christ, by the way, that's hurting inside. Every day, everywhere you go, you have Christ in you. And the Bible says that that is the surest hope of the glory that awaits you. And that's already been done for you. The moment you believed in Christ, Christ came to live inside of you. And that is just proof of the glory that awaits you. Colossians 1:27. To whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this ministry among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. promise. You will be conformed to the image of God's Son, whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And I love this one. This is a great one for anything. No matter what's going on in your life, just remember, God is causing all things to work together for good in your life. The thing that you were worried about today, the problem that you can't solve, the part of you that you don't like very much, whatever it is, trust in this scripture that God is causing all things to work together for good in your life. That's how great he is. That's how loving that he is. It's jaw-dropping. Jaw-dropping. It is jaw-dropping. I can't say jaw-dropping because my jaw drops. It's jaw-dropping. I can't say it. I'm going to take a drink of water here. Probably should have picked a different word. It's jaw-dropping when you really think about them. You know, and the thing is that try to go to a place where you don't usually go for thinking about spiritual, religious, holy stuff. You know? And go there and read this. The reason I say that is that sometimes you need to change your pace. Sometimes you need to be in another place where then you can get to relax and think about these things in a new way. You know, that you really have Christ in you. Like driving on the highway and in all this traffic like there was tonight. It's a great time to remind yourself, you know what? Yeah, whatever's going on, I'm going to be late. People are going to look funny at me. But you know what? I have Christ in me. So all that other stuff, whatever, right? All right. By the way, finally, we can just be grateful for God himself. Just, hey, I'm glad you're God. I'm glad you're who you are. You know, all three of the persons. God the Father, I'm glad you're who you are. Jesus Christ, I'm glad you're who you are. Holy Spirit, I'm happy and grateful for who you are. Because after all, who is God? We've seen tonight, he's love. And I'm happy that God is love. Aren't you? Aren't you happy that it turns out that the God of the universe is love? Could have been a lot of different things. You know, check out all the false religions if you want another list. But he's love. God is good. You know, that's important. That's important that we know that the one who's running this whole thing, the one who said all things are working together for good, is good himself. And he knows what good is. And he's gracious. He's not holding things against us. He's just blessing us. And here's the really great thing. God's going to keep on being God. He's going to keep on being all those things. Tomorrow, God is going to keep on being loving to you. He's going to keep on being gracious to you for the rest of your life. He'll be good and good for you every day till the day you die. And then, of course, he'll be good after that and gracious and loving. In the ages to come, he's going to show the riches of his grace and kindness toward us. So, because he's going to keep on being loving and gracious and good, then we can thank him for all the loving, gracious, good things that he's going to do for us tomorrow and the next day and the day after that. So when you take this time, as we've done tonight, and I hope you do on a regular basis, to just recall some of God's blessings, you know, don't do the obsessive compulsive thing about, I have to remember them all. No, you don't. Just remember two or three. Take time, though, to recall some of God's blessings to you. And you're going to find, as you just think about those things, any of the things we talked about tonight, just think about one or two of them, you're going to find that you can't help but be grateful to him. That's how this works. You know, get in the habit of thinking about some things that God has given you. And when you really think about them, you're going to be grateful to him for those things. It's just the way it works. It works in the human realm. When you think about gifts that somebody's given you, you're grateful that they did it. When you think about people in your life who helped you at various stages, you're grateful to them. As long as you think about it. And if you think about your friends in your life, if you never think about them, you won't be grateful to them. But if you think about them, you watch how natural it is to be grateful for some things in your life. And when you think about the people that love you, you watch how easy it is to be grateful. When you really think about it, when you think about how you know they love you and the things that they've done, you're going to be grateful. It's just the way your heart works. And the same is true for God. When you just take some time to recall some of his blessings, you're going to find you cannot help but be grateful to him. And when you make a habit of being grateful, of thanking God for those things, you know, especially the gifts that are enumerated in the New Testament, because those are the greatest ones, you're going to find that more and more your heart will start to rejoice over who God is and what he's done for you. And this will be the last thing I'm going to read, and then we're going to close. Philippians 4, 4 to 9. This is a good reminder. This is a good way to end and say, what am I supposed to do? What are the steps? Well, I got to think about the things. I'm privileged to think about the ways in which God has blessed me. That's going to produce gratitude in my heart, and then I'm going to be more joyful. Oh, I want to be more joyful. Doesn't everybody? Isn't that everybody walking around saying, I wish I could be more joyful about this life? Okay, think about a few of the blessings that God has given you. Watch how gratitude fills your heart, and watch how that gratitude and thankfulness, especially as you express it, leads to joy in your heart. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be made known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about a thing. In everything, if you're about to worry, pray. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, just let your requests be made known to God. And then the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, here are the blessings, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there's any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell, I love that word, dwell on these things. You know what that means? Take time with them. It's like a great meal, you know, that you paid $50 for. Are you going to just slop it down and run out? No, you're going to slow down and enjoy it. Chew it and just get everything out of it. Do that out of the things that God has done for you. Because the greatest things, the things that are most fitting for what Paul is saying here, the true things, the honorable things, the right and pure and lovely things, those of good, those are the things we read tonight. Those things that God has enumerated in the New Testament that he's given to you and done for you. So just think on those things. Dwell on those things. What's going to happen? The things that you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, Paul writes, practice those things. Oh yeah, it's practice. That's what it is. It's daily practice at these things. It doesn't really, God knows, doesn't happen automatically. A lot of people think the Christian way of life is an automatic thing. It is not. But it happens when we are obedient to things like take some time to practice thinking about the things that are lovely and good and right and excellent, especially the things we've seen tonight, what God has done for us, and he's declared in his word, his love for us, every blessing in the heavenly places. Tell me when to stop, that we've been redeemed and our sins have been forgiven, and on and on and on and on and on, that we're going to be conformed to the image of Christ. These are the lovely things. And as we practice, make a habit of looking at those things and dwelling on those things and enjoying those things, we're going to be grateful. And when we're grateful, we're going to find more and more of this joy in our hearts. When you practice these things, the God of peace will be with you. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Make every day in some way a day of giving thanks to the Lord. Let's close in prayer. Father, we want to thank you tonight for gathering us together, for just spurring us on to take some time to dwell on the things that you've done for us, that you've explained to us and revealed in your word. We know it's all for our benefit. We know that it really is true that as we take the time to think and dwell upon these things, that we will be grateful and we will have more joy in our hearts, and the peace that surpasses understanding will flood into our heart. And so we're excited now, Father, to put these things into practice. Help us by the power of the Spirit to do exactly that. We ask it all in the name of Jesus Christ with thanksgiving. By the power of the Spirit we pray. Amen. You're dismissed. Enjoy this holiday tomorrow.